Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
You don't need anesthetized when you're getting your butt bleached.
It's good to know, Todd.
True.
Good to know.
It is so true.
It is true. Nick Allen with us. Yeah. We got, you got a gig this week, Nick, at all?
I don't.
All right. I should ask you that off the air.
Right.
I should ask you to join the summer. Because last week you had a gig, and you always act surprised when you say you have a gig. So I should just ask you on the gig.
I should say you're at something next week.
You're on the show this week. That's your gig. Your gig is hanging out with us today. Danny Trejo is going to push his fluff in Danny Trejo.
Usually Colleen has to call him and tell him that.
He has a gig at the Funny Bone.
Right.
But he's there.
I'm not taking any call. My phone crapped out.
Oh, it did?
Yeah. I'm no phone today.
Yeah,
I kind of like it.
Now, it sounds like
you do like that.
Updating itself.
Yeah. I tried to update. I might have to restore. I might lose everything. But I'm like,
someone like my son who was trying to dunk a basketball in a low basket with his phone. Not with the phone, holding the phone, and he threw the phone in the ground. It broke. and it cost me money. All right, hang on a second.
Did you know that Clay wanted my old lady dead? Were you the ones he hired?
He thought she knew too much about our business. We wouldn't have hurt her.
You did hurt her.
I'm sorry for what happened, but we've got to ask. Is she a threat?
No.
Then why did Clay want her dead?
It's a family problem.
What you're thinking? What you're feeling? Bury it, son. Because if Clay goes away, so do you and all your brothers.
You know, it's funny, when Sons of Anarchy started, I'm thinking, well, what season does Danny Trejo show up? Because you know he's going to be on this show.
Yep.
And he was on that show, and he's on a ton of other shows. We love him, and movies, and now he's got his own show.
In fact, his latest show is called Man at Arms, Art of War, on the El Rey Network. We know him best as Carlos Santana from Delta Farce. Danny Trejo joining us. Thanks for joining us, sir. You're a legend and an icon.
First of all, cable guys are good. Actually, we're friends with Larry and or Dan, I should say. And so when you were go ahead. When you were Carlos Santana, we loved that role.
Yeah, that was funny, boy. Not the singer.
Well, we love all your work. I don't know where to start here, but let's just start with the new show. It's on El Rey. It's called Man at Arms, Art of War. And yeah. I'll let you, Danny Trejo, tell us what the show's about.
Well, you know what? Well, we've gotten some unbelievable weapon makers from all over the world and had them make, recreate weapons that actually were game changers in different wars.
Yeah.
You know, and it's amazing that... it took them, like to make an actual samurai sword actually takes a year. It takes 2 years, 3 years to make that the way it's supposed to be made.
I didn't know that.
You know, so when we were recreating them, it was like, wow, they did this,
What it does is they go and they state-of-the-art technology to create historical and modern. Now, they didn't have technology back in the day, so how do they actually show how they actually did it back in the day?
Do they explain how they did it without the technology?
What we're trying to do is show exactly how they made it, and some of the ways that they did it, we couldn't even do. You know, we had to modernize it in order to do it. I couldn't believe some of these guys that make the weapons. I watched them and they were like, to watch an expert, to watch some guy that can take a piece of metal and actually recreate something out of history.
They try to be as true as possible,
apparently,
to how they created it back in the day.
Yes, that's what we tried to do. But believe me, like. It would take us 4 or 5 years to make a certain kind of a samurai sword. So
you don't have that kind of time.
Yeah. Well, that would ensure the series would run for quite a while.
That's true. Yeah. We'll put this in the kiln and come back in 4 years. That way the series is still on, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, how'd this come? Well, first of all, you are the perfect person to host this, but how'd it come about?
This is a Robert Rodriguez network, and we know your pals.
Absolutely. Robert Rodriguez, he called me. I love him. He goes, "Hey, I got a good idea." Okay, and he like told me about it, and I'm in. You know, and so it's going to be a TV series on the El Rey Network, and it is going to kick ass.
Danny Trejo with us. Danny, how'd you get started in the business? You've been doing it for a long time.
You were a badass as a young man. You spent a little time. You did a little like hard time in San Quentin, didn't you?
Yeah, San Quentin and Folsom and Soledad.
And when you got out, how did you not end up going back in? What did you do to prevent that?
Well, you know what? I dedicated my life to helping other people, and it's real hard to do something wrong when you're trying to help others. And, I worked a lot with drug addicts and alcoholics. In fact, I still work for Western Pacific Med Corp, and we detox heroin addicts
And that's huge now.
That's,
obviously, heroin
actually. That's my job, you know, and acting. I got into acting by kind of a fluke. You know, wanted to be an extra and ended up in a movie called Runaway Train with John Boyd and Eric Roberts. Actually, a guy named Eddie Bunker that I ran into that I knew in prison, who was a writer, gave me my start.
Well, that, first of all, it's a great movie. That's a great movie, and I forgot that's what you were in. You were in that movie all those years ago. Danny Trejo with us. Danny, so do people, I mean, because you're a tough guy in pretty much everything. Do people ever approach you and try to be tough with you because of who you are?
Not many?
Probably not.
Not many, because
it's so funny. I've had to pull a couple of people, the Hollywood bad guys aside and kind of tell them, "Look, I'm not Hollywood. Hold on, beat you to death."
Oh, I'm not Hollywood. I'll beat you to death.
Now, I did see a movie, and I think you mentioned this in a couple of interviews, because I think I read every interview you ever did once we learned that we were talking to you. But it was with Maggie Gyllenhaal called Sherry Baby, and I think you really showed your acting chops in that one. I enjoyed that movie, first of all, because I like you, and I like Maggie Gyllenhaal, and I thought you did a great job.
I love Maggie Gyllenhaal, and I kept Laurie Collier, the director. I kept asking her, "Come on, let me slap somebody." Actually, like, a nice guy, you know? And I was always, everybody got to beat up Maggie Gyllenhaal, and I was like the guy that she turned to when she needed help. Like, come on, can I yell at her at least?
Can I yell at her at least? Let me slap somebody. So you don't mind being the badass? I mean, you've accepted that you are the badass, right?
You know what? It's so funny. The first time, I didn't have a name for the first 5 years of my career. I was always like, bad guy, number one.
Right, yeah.
Inmate, number one. You know, me, you know, bad dude, all this shit. And so I had a career. I was making money. And this girl, fresh out of interview school, I think she came and said, "Danny, aren't you afraid of being stereotyped?"
Yeah.
And I looked at her and she goes, "You're being typecast." I just, "As what?" And she says, "Well, you're always playing the mean Chicano dude with tattoos."
Yeah.
I kind of looked at her and I said, "I am the mean Chicano dude with tattoos." So somebody got it right. Yeah.
Man at Arms.
The first name I actually got was Art Sonella. I played Italian in a Charles Bronson movie. Death Wish 4.
Oh, you're in Death Wish 4 with that, and you're an Italian guy. I got it. But you're a tough Italian guy, right?
Arts,
okay.
How are things going? I've heard good reviews because I have friends.
Man at Arms, it's awesome.
Man at Arms, Art of War on El Rey Network. That's right, coming up here.
How are things going at Trejo's Tacos? I have a friend in L.A., and he's a Mexican guy, and he says it's very authentic Mexican food.
Yeah, and it's going great. We're doing really, really great. It's like full of it's a lot of fun. I like going down there and just hanging out with everybody, you know, and, I, I, like I like going to the Cantina, Trails Cantina. Now we just opened up a Trails Gourmet Coffee and Donuts.
Yeah, which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So you're branching out. And what I read,
we open at 7, we sell out by 10. It's doing really, really well.
Okay. And you show up there a lot, from what I understand.
Oh, yeah, every chance I get. I'll go there. In fact, my kid's mom just passed the bar, just got, once you pass the bar, you still got to get blessed as a good guy by a judge. So we're going to a thing this morning for her where she's going to get blessed. Then we're going to Trails Cantina to have lunch.
Celebration.
Man at Arms, the Art of War on the Elway Network, Danny Trejo. Go ahead.
It's good to have an attorney in the family, you know what I mean?
Everybody could use one.
Danny, love all your work. Appreciate you. You know, continue, man. We'll talk soon, all right?
All right,
man.
All the way.
All right, man. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate your time, sir.
Danny Trejo. I'm not Hollywood. I will beat you to death.
That's awesome. Well, that's what I was thinking. Who steps to machete? I mean, who steps to that guy and thinks they can take him?
Now, Craig had mentioned when we play Who's Taller in September, that Trejo's only 5'6".
5'6".
That's short, but he's Danny Trejo.
He's machete.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And he looks, look at him,
I like that he referred to interview school.
I know. Because the typecast, he laughs at that stuff. Of course he's what he is. A lot of those guys that come out of somewhere else besides acting, like he mentioned Italian guys, the Italian thugs that became actors in movies, they don't care because that's what they are.
Right. It's work.
It is work. It is. I mean, Danny Trejo does. He worked, like you mentioned the movie you talked about, I haven't seen, but he actually is a pretty good actor. But
yes,
he's always a tough guy in pretty much everything he does. And he doesn't care. Pays the bills. That's why he's got a donut shop.
But the great thing about him, at age 72, that guy hasn't peaked yet.
No, man. People love
72?
That dude.
He's
72? Yeah.
Wow.
72. 72? But he considers himself 48 because he got out of prison at 24 and then kind of changed his life around from that point.
Well, I mean, Machete has really become his first big franchise.
As the lead.
And they're rolling out another one of those. There's another one coming.
Yeah. All right. That was fun. Nick with us. PD Mac's gone. Craig Evans in the house.
Yes, indeed.
We're tweeting at TNT Radio Empire. Yep. And Danny Trejo's following us now, too, by the way. He'll enjoy Tan Line Tuesday next week. He'll go, oh, okay, this is cool.
This is the National Accordion Awareness Month.
Uh-oh.
He didn't say his wife, by the way. They're obviously still together. He said my kid's mom. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It might be one of a couple kids' mom. Right. I'm guessing Danny played the field. National what?
Accordion Appreciation?
Yeah. Awareness.
Don't need to hear one of those ever
again.
So
we don't need to appreciate it. We just need to be aware.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've lowered the bar.
Good. Yeah, because I don't appreciate it. I hate that.
It probably started out as Appreciation Month, and they found out a lot of people really didn't appreciate it. So they settled for awareness.
Yeah.
Yeah,
isn't that what
they
do for diseases is the Awareness Month?
Yeah. It's aware. Be aware that accordion's around to avoid it. That's what it sounds like, right?
Are there any good rock and roll accordion songs?
Nope, and I'm not counting Weird Al because I'm not a big fan, although he's a talented man.
He plays a good accordion.
His parents are dead, too.
And his parents are dead. Somebody told me that. He did. He told me his parents were dead.
Who did we talk to? Oh, Mary Steenburgen plays the accordion and busted it out a couple of times on Last Man on Earth.
Right. Don't need to hear it.
Oh, yeah, she does.
Yeah.
Usually playing some sort of popular rock song or something on the accordion.
That'd be awful. There's just a handful of people left on Earth, and the only musician can, like, the only thing they can play is the accordion.
Exactly.
Just let's not.
We got bagpipes. There's rock songs featuring bagpipes.
Yeah.
A handful.
Not many.
AC/DC.
There's rock songs featuring flutes.
Oh, yeah. Jethro Tull rocks.
The flautist.
Best heavy metal.
And the flautist was bitching. Right.
I said that
did you?
To my kid yesterday out of the blue. Of course, he had no clue what it was, and I didn't explain myself. I just wandered off and was amused. I'm just walking through the room, and like, whoa, the flautist is bitching.
All right, I'm not familiar with
you. Listen to the whole show. That was
Bob Dylan, Beyond Here Lies Nothing. Are you familiar with that song?
No.
Apparently features an accordion.
All right.
Okay.
I do know The Road to Nowhere by the Talking Heads. That has little accordion in it.
All right.
We can work it out. Beatles.
Yeah, but the rest of that song is good.
Squeeze Box by The Who? A
little bit in the beginning.
And those are the only ones I've heard of.
Because it's about a squeeze box.
You have to have other instruments with an accordion.
Right, right.
You can't just go accordion. Right. Oh,
well, we're aware of that now, so thanks for bringing that up, Craig.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's important.
Yeah, I know you do.
4th of July, Asbury Park, Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, it does, because that's well, that gives you that carnival feel.
Asbury Park.
I love that song. It's my favorite Springsteen song.
Has been named the coolest small town in the country.
Is it because of Bruce?
Has nothing to do with Bruce.
Well, it's on the beach.
It's gotta be.
It's on the beach.
Bruce had that little cool factor to that.
I don't have it in front of me, but it's just the town itself and all the things that are going on in the town and whatnot. They say that coolest little town in the country.
I'm not arguing. It is a cool town.
How little does a little town have to be?
Not big.
How big is Asbury Park?
Not big.
Not big, but it's also right on the beach.
I'm looking at the story here. It says the population is just under 16,000 people. It's about 1.6 square miles.
Wow.
But they have a big 4th of July thing, Oyster Fest, Zombie Walk, a whole bunch of other stuff. That's the coolest small town in America.
Jammed in the summertime?
Oh, yeah. Probably like Jersey Shore is, for that matter.
Ooh, ranking above destinations like Bisbee, Arizona, and Nevada City, California. They came in second and third.
All right.
Bisbee's where Doug Stanhope lives.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's actually a cool town.
Tampa area.
I know where three of the crappiest small towns are. I've been to those. I'll probably be there this weekend. No, not this weekend. I'm home this weekend. I could name those towns.
I've sat on bleachers in some of the worst small towns in America.
Oh, come on. These are good people. But that could be any state.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say the three towns were, part of the Quad Cities.
No, I haven't been.
Just one of them?
Any number of Quad Cities throughout the country,
That's true. That's true.
A lot of these small towns are just falling apart.
Oh, they're just horrible.
More tri-cities.
You go there, they're just horrible.
Then
there's a great elevator and a barn.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Believe me, I travel.
And they're both falling over.
Both falling over.
A lot of tri-state areas.
I see some houses in these towns. I go, well, how could you live here, man?
In fact, we're broadcasting to the tri-state area.
Yes, we are.
Nevada, Arizona, California.
Yes, we are. Unlucky.
There you go.
That's what I always liked about Jews Ever Watch Phineas and Ferb. The villain in that was always trying to take over the tri-state area. The tri-state area.
I enjoyed that cartoon anyway.
Yeah.
I did.
I love it when people just catch on to things that we've been doing for years. Mandy here finally figured out what a fluffer was.
That's
because they always say puss is fluffing a guest.
Yes.
And don't think it literally, because if you're thinking of puss fluffing Danny Trejo, that's on you.
he would have slapped puss.
It's a metaphorical fluffing.
She decided to go to the Urban Dictionary
she did.
Find out what a fluffer was.
Yeah.
Ah.
And she learned something today.
That's
how does she feel about learning that?
Exactly. Does she want to be a fluffer?
Can't unsee that.
No.
I am laughing way too hard at this.
Okay.
He always says puss is fluffing the guest, right?
She's amused.
Okay, good. I'm glad. A Tampa area mother allowed a snake to bite her infant daughter.
Oh, Jesus.
Now, good I mom. Bring this up.
Why?
Because we don't do horrible stories generally.
No.
So this is not a horrible story.
Well, not when it comes to kids.
It sounds like it is.
So it gets better?
Right.
Well, yeah, because the kid's fine. The snake is nothing.
It starts out kind of horrible.
Yes, it does. So this mother posted video to Facebook showing the one-year-old daughter being bitten by the red rat snake.
Oh, Jesus. One.
The unnamed woman tells WFTS-TV she does not regret putting her child face-to-face with the snake. Mom says she found the snake in the driveway, thought it'd be a good opportunity to introduce her daughter without actually getting hurt.
One.
What?
She's one.
Now, the unidentified mother is seen holding a clear plastic tub containing this small red rat snake. As the daughter reaches into the tub, the non-venomous...
Did she know that?
Yeah, she knew that.
Was she aware
yes.
the red rat snake is really not going to hurt you?
Yes.
Although when they bite you, it hurts.
She's one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does she pinch the kid for fun?
Yeah.
I mean, one.
Poke her with needles just to toughen her up?
We've all had a one-year-old. They're small.
Punch them in the face for dessert.
And they're very vulnerable.
Yeah, and I never thought, you know, it would be cool is if a snake bit my one-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah.
The mother does not understand why people are upset. She said that this snake had bitten her and her son and did not leave a mark.
She's not.
So she thought it was a good opportunity to introduce the baby without actually getting hurt.
Now, we wouldn't have known this until she videoed this or what?
Yeah, it's up on the Facebook.
On Facebook.
Oh, she's an idiot.
That the snake's teeth are too small to actually puncture the skin. It's very harmless.
Oh, this is remember we were discussing my stamps that have pets on them?
And you were discussing that. Yeah.
And I mentioned, who the hell has a corn snake for a pet?
Yes.
That's what this is. Right. The red rat snake is also known as the corn snake.
Oh. I did not know.
Now you know.
Yeah.
You know what fluffing means?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Puss.
We're learning a lot.
Yeah.
So, Tom.
It doesn't have to be that.
That's not fluffing.
No, it can't be that, too.
That's beyond fluffing.
Right.
My brother-in-law is really scared of snakes, and he had a newborn, probably about a one-year-old kid, and my in-laws put a fake snake in the yard just to freak him out during his Easter egg hunt. So he's walking along with his firstborn son,
right.
Sees this snake, throws the kid at the snake, and runs up, up the stairs. His first reaction was to sacrifice his kid and take off.
There's people react. I'm always afraid of something like that I would run and leave something.
Yeah.
Somebody, I was in a baseball game, obviously, and somebody hit a foul ball, and somebody yells, "Foul ball!" And this dad's walking with his daughter. She's like three. He runs away. Because he says, "Why?" He just runs away. The ball bounces right near her. And I said, "You know what? Don't yell at that guy. All of us would have ran away."
Yeah.
Oh, you just start running, and then the ball doesn't hit you, and it just hits your kid in the head.
He's knocking her over to get out of the way.
Exactly. Because you just don't think.
The survival instinct.
Yeah. At that point, you're a bigger target than a three-year-old.
Yeah, so. But he ran away, and the ball was still coming.
You're more likely to get hit.
I wasn't mad at the guy, because I might have done the same thing.
Right. Pretty good chance it's going to miss her, since she's only 2 feet tall.
He throws the kid at the snake. I'm out of here. Nick Allen with us.
You're listening to the Dodd and Tyler Radio Empire.